The United States is shrinking its military forces pretty much across the board. Can more openness to more types of people help strengthen readiness? Todd Weiler, the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Manpower and Reserve Affairs, says he thinks so. As LGBT month closes, Weiler explained his views during an interview with Federal News Radio Scott Massioni.
I think that we can do more in terms of reaching out to the LGBT community. I think we can do more in terms of reaching out to the high-tech community. I think that there's a lot of areas where people want to serve, but again, there have been restrictions or they've perceived restrictions in the way that they have to serve, 20 years or I don't have a retirement, et cetera, that we're breaking down those barriers. And that's what's critically important. So I see outreach going everywhere. I don't want to see us just focusing our efforts in the traditional ponds that we fish from before for our recruiting resources. I want to see us out in across the United States, in all the communities, in the ethnic communities, in the LGBT communities, and reaching out to more women. I mean, we've had great advances in terms of opening positions for women. I mean, there's been so much progress in the last few years to make this military more reflective of the society of which we serve. So I think just getting that message out there, we're going to reap the benefits of that.
Now, we already talked about the whole transgender thing, but, in the future, not only just in the next 2 or 3 years, but maybe in the next 20 years, where do you see recruiting and retention kind of going? How are we going to kind of open that aperture and let more people in, let more innovation into the Defense Department? That's different from the Force of the Future or a continuation of it.
Yeah, I think it starts, it's a phrase, it starts today, it starts here. It really does start here. It starts with the things that the Secretary is talking about and tearing down some of these barriers, creating more ability to permeate between the components and between civilian and military service. So I think you start here. You communicate more with those other ponds of people, those other communities that we have not traditionally recruited in. You communicate more with them. You create an understanding where they look at and they say, wow, I like the military. That's kind of cool. From there, that translates into more parents and teachers and so forth saying, you might want to consider military service. And then later on, it's a long process. Not unlike what's happened with the gay community. It took us a long time. It's a long process. But eventually, what you find is, and I think we'll find in 10, 20 years, a lot more cross-section of the United States from all 54 states and territories coming into the military that we haven't traditionally seen.
How have you seen, since you've been in government for a while, how have you seen the acceptance of people, not in policy, but in culture? How's it changed? And what do you attribute that to?
Again, I think across government, we're reflective of our society. So I think as society has evolved, so have the people that serve in government. I think in general, particularly in the Department of Defense, we've always been focused on mission. And I think that this issue was just, ripe for the picking, I guess, that folks today, they don't look at people and go, oh, that's a gay service member, or that's a gay assistant secretary. They look at them and say, oh, look at what they're doing. Oh, there's an aviator, there's an infantryman, there's an assistant secretary doing policy stuff. They look at us from the mission and the jobs that we do, not from labels. And I think that's vitally important for society as a whole.
Would you mind, since you were in the military, kind of telling us about your story becoming openly gay and what you kind of went through internally to come to that?
So, yeah, like I said, I served in the Army and wasn't out, obviously. When I came to the Pentagon in the 90s, I wasn't out. I people say, oh, well, everybody knows, you know, after some period of time, whatever. And it's just over the years, it's happened. And then when I met my husband, it was just an evolutionary process. You know, we never were on the forefront and out speaking. I don't consider myself to be a big public speaker. So we decided to, you know, take on the cause in the ways that were more comfortable with us, and raising money, raising awareness behind the scenes, working issues, things like that. And I think the coming out thing was not a big celebratory event necessarily for me. It was just something that evolved over time. And I think that's the way it is with a lot of people.
And is there a certain comfort or scariness that goes along with it in either way?
There always is. Yeah. I think that there always is, because you're sort of afraid of what your friends from 20 years ago will think, what your neighbors might say if they see you on the TV or in the newspaper or hear you on the radio. But again, it's sort of like we were talking about the other issues. In general, people don't look at you that way anymore. I mean, that's my experience. And I know that that's not true with everyone. And we still face some very major hurdles in certain elements of society. But I've been very fortunate that just hasn't been the case. People look at me as the guy next door that mows his lawn, or you know, somebody that comes into work and does his job. So, and that's kind of the way I like it.
Kind of bringing everything back full circle, after this whole career that you've had in government and all the change that you've seen, can you tell us what it was like for you to be in that parade and the feelings that you felt and what it was like?
It almost like tears in my eyes. It was I felt so proud to be there and to walk among all those people, so many people that have fought all their lives to get us to where we are. You know, we were surrounded in that parade by folks that have been fighting for 20, 30, 40 years on this issue. And so I was just absolutely blown away and so honored to be there. And then when we got to Stonewall, we all took a moment and just, you know, we're in awe to think about those days and what it took for those people to make that stand. That was huge and should never be forgotten. It should never be underestimated, the sacrifices that people have made for our community. And so to be there and honor that was very important to me.
Todd Weiler is Assistant Secretary of Defense for Manpower and Reserve Affairs, speaking with Federal News Radio's Scott Massioni. You can share this interview with colleagues. Go to Federal News Radio. You can share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.